There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Well, it's another Tuesday night here at the Horse Ranch in the barn. And if you've just logged on and you've never heard this radio show before, we're on a large horse ranch in northeastern Oklahoma, and we're actually in a barn. Horses, hay, dog, cats, spiders, mice, dust, lots of dust. You get the idea. Today's date is the 29th of April, 2014, and it is exactly 2 minutes and 21 seconds after the hour of 8 o'clock Central Daylight Savings Time here in the central part of the United States of America. Tonight, with our plan, we warned you how a couple of shows ago how we were going to rock the boat. We were going to shift gears, accelerate, become more absolute. Well, tonight is another step in that direction. And it's a prediction, more like a guess, that some of you may cry, some of you may laugh with joy, some of you might be a little melancholy, but everyone is going to have things to think about tomorrow morning and tonight. You may find yourself with your head on your pillow in a darkened room, but sleep is not on your mind. Let's talk about our minds, and let's include our hearts. If someone says, well, their mind is closed, they have a closed mind, that means that people assume they're stubborn, they're not open to new information, it's their way or the highway. You can't reason with them. There's nothing that you can convince them of. Their mind is closed. In other words, the door is closed to new information. If someone says, well, they have a closed heart, sometimes it means they're mean, uncaring. They have no sympathy or empathy for others. Loveless. A closed heart usually is a negative type of emotional state, where the heart on a philosophical level is not available for joy. It's just closed. Now, so many times on Jim's radio show here, we try to separate our daily lives from our relationship with Christ. We try to emphasize that there is the flesh and the world, and then there's heaven. And that in all of us, there is grace. We're born with it. Now, it's very hard to find someone who does not subscribe to some type of Christianity or organized religion who would not, in the heartbeat of a fly state so truly that the blood of Jesus washed away our sins. That it's a gift from God. We're born with God's love in us, which is grace. But tonight we're going to talk about a closed mind and a closed heart. And perhaps for those of you who know the book, the Bible, cover to cover, might be a little surprised to see where Scripture talks about a closed mind, a closed heart, where there is a comparison. So I would like to invite you to sit back and relax, but I don't think any of us are going to be that relaxed. Because, Jim, the farther you go in your relationship with the guys, one of the things that you always comment to me is how you are seeing more and more people on a more consistent and a more regular basis, that it's, you've literally said, what I say goes in one ear and goes out the other. They're just closed-minded, they're closed heart. They believe what they believe, they worship how they worship, and they're really not receptive to new information. You're seeing more of this all the time, aren't you?
Well, I am, and I guess the way that I would use as an illustration, it's kind of like your little Polaris out there, you know, like a golf cart type of thing. You know, they've got governors on those things. In fact, I remember the bus that we drove for the Ramus Singers and Band. And there was a bunch of us that had the CDL license, and we drove that bus. Well, they had a governor on it, so you could only go so fast. And it was about 70 miles an hour, I think, was where the governor was. So it would hold you back. Well, that's kind of how I see, I mean, good-meaning, good-hearted people that would stare you in the eye and, as far as they know, reveal their heart, not meaning that maybe what they're saying isn't exactly what they mean, but, man, I want all of God. I want all of God. But then when it comes to actually experiencing God, it's kind of like there's a governor. Like you can only almost handle so much. It's kind of like I can handle maybe 10% of a healing over the course of a month. If I can get 10% every few days, then I'll add it up to a full 100%. But the idea of getting 100% is beyond my imagination, beyond my mind, beyond what I can conceive. I can't really conceptualize that. That's just almost too big for me. So I'm kind of describing to you what I seem to get quite often in talking with folks. There seems to be a limiter. There seems to be a governor where folks only seem to be able to go so far. So we're wanting to bring up this subject because maybe there's some things that we can talk about and some things that we see in the Lord, because when I really see, you know, the different writers like Jesus and Paul, and I'm using those specifically because they're both really working with people quite a bit. When I see these two writers, almost I could say everything that they write basically has a roundabout meaning that says, open your heart and open your mind. Everything is limitless, boundless. Think bigger, believe bigger. You're just scratching the surface. Have a wide open mind and a wide open, spacious life. Now, these are certain phrases in scriptures that Jesus and Paul makes, and there's so many more that really seem to indicate maybe in the day we're living, what's the possibility? You know how we've talked about this before, where things can get really kind of shaken up and they're maybe not accurate. What's the possibility today that what we think is open-mindedness is just a percentage? And it's not really as open as it should be.
Well, before we get any farther, I need to get the email out there.
Okay.
If you'd like to email the show, it's the name of Jim's radio show. It's The Abiding Presence. All one word, no space, no capital letters, The Abiding Presence at G, the letter G, gmail.com. The Abiding Presence at gmail.com. Text messaging. If you would like to text the show, the first word that you type in your text message has to be the word grace. You have to type G-R-A-C-E before you type anything else if you're going to send a text. That's the key word for the show, Grace. And then you send it to this 5-digit high-speed internet text number. There's no one, there's no area code, just five numbers. 69302. That's 69302 for text messaging and the abiding presence at gmail.com. Well, I guess we should start at the beginning, which is Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
And you were writing like crazy when I said, well, look at Adam and Eve. They had no agenda. They really had no plan, no agenda when everything was fine in the Garden of Eden. They were with Christ 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
There was no question about it. And if you look at a closed mind and a closed heart, the real punishment of Adam and Eve and also the serpent was to make their minds busy.
Yeah.
To give them a laundry list of things to do on a daily basis that were of the flesh and of the world. To literally close their thoughts and close their feelings off to Christ.
You know, what you're saying here, I want you to keep going, but I just wanted to interject. I would gather that probably the majority of the people that are listening now, and this is no way demeaning, because these are thoughts that BJ and I have talked about for a couple of years now, and some of these things he just said were things that a couple of years ago I looked like, that's interesting. In other words, you see the punishment, but you don't see it in that light. Because, BJ, chapter 3 of Genesis is when they missed it. They sinned. And by chapter 6, Noah's on the scene, and already the earth is being destroyed. That's how quickly what you're talking about took effect.
Well, he told the man, look, you're going to have to work every day. You're going to have to wear clothes. He told the woman that childbirth was going to be painful and that she was going to have other health issues. And he told the serpent that I'm going to take your legs away and you're going to bite at the heel of man and man's going to want to kill you for it. He literally busied their day
mm-hmm.
with world slash flesh things to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I tell people all the time, I say, if you read Genesis and you understand how the punishment is and what it was, then a question that someone can only ask themselves and they can only get an answer from themselves is, what is your life like? Are you living a life like, if you're a man, are you living the life of Adam in the Garden of Eden and you have a wonderful relationship with Christ? Or are you living a life more similar to Adam, who has been busied?
Right.
Whose heart and mind have been closed and busy for the day. And then if it's a woman, I say, are you living the life of Eve in the Garden of Eden, where you have a wonderful relationship with Adam and Christ, and the three of you are together as a team?
Right.
Or is your life more similar to Eve after the apple tree?
Correct. Right.
And because if you can associate and compare yourself with before or after the punishment, then it lets you know just how busy and how closed your heart and mind are.
Now, let me give you a scripture just for a moment to verify this. You're going to really like this. What you said a moment ago is look at what sin did. It brought the body into view, okay? And God closed the body. He puts clothes on the body. Now man is all about making sure he's got something to wear, okay? And things are going south. Look at what First Peter said. Look at what Peter said. He goes, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with an incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. So look at the comparison. Man sins, and part of his punishment is all about the body. Peter after Jesus came out of the grave and showed us that we can have a different life, Peter says, don't be all about the body and the flesh so that you can make connection to the Spirit. He's going the opposite direction. That's a pretty cool comparison when you think about it, really.
Well, there's other instances of closed heart and a closed mindedness. If you look at Steve, was it Steve? Who was the guy walking
Peter.
With? I was close. P is real close to S in the alphabet. I was amazingly close.
Closer than sometimes.
I'm always close. All right, so you got Steve. He's walking with Jesus on the water, Peter, whoever it is. He's walking on the water. His mind closes and his heart closes because
right.
he focuses on the flesh
yeah.
and the water.
Yeah.
He literally makes a conscious decision to stop enjoying the moment and fellowship with Jesus. And so it's like a door, or like closing a window, or like turning a light on and off. You're in the light, you're in the moment, and you flip a switch and you're in the dark.
Very good, yeah.
Because this is the essence of all your sins, which we now know means all your choices are forgiven, which means that no matter what you choose on a moment's notice, if you realize that it does nothing to benefit your relationship with Christ, you can repent, which means change direction. And you can open your heart and mind to God.
Tell me this about horses, race horses. And
yeah.
they have those little blinder things on?
Blinders. So do carriage horses.
So talk to me about... the purpose, I obviously kind of know, but I mean, explain to me, if they didn't have them on, why would it affect the race?
Well, the reason they have blinders on racehorses is because, number one, they really don't want the horse distracted or focused on another horse. They want the horse to do nothing but to look down the track, so they mm-hmm. run faster. Mm-hmm. But they use blinders on buggies and carriage horses. Sometimes they use blinders on workhorses that are just, driving teams.
Right.
Because they don't want the horse to be affected by the horse next to them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want the horses distracted. They want the horse's mind to be very focused on the task of doing nothing but pulling straight ahead.
So is a horse more distracted by another horse or by things around them?
Either or.
Okay.
It depends on what it is. It could be a plastic bag in the wind. It could be the backfire of a car. It could be the horse next to them shaking their head because there's a fly.
Uh-huh.
You just don't know. It could be anything.
Yeah, I know. I was riding one of my sister's horses one time. Allie and I were. We were riding together. And just like you snapped your finger, we had no clue. This horse we're just walking. My horse plants her foot, her outside back foot, and does about a 90-degree full stride within 3 seconds. She's at, like, full speed. And Allie's real small, but Allie knew how to hold on, and her horse did the same thing when my horse did that. And that's kind of what you're talking about. I mean,
they
can get spooked like that, can't they?
Yeah, Ranger gets distracted once in a while from a mouse or a rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
We're really talking about, I mean, and see, the distractions of the day, I mean, this is also another part of Paul's writings, all the letters he wrote, whether they were full of fancy, kind words or whether he was just literally chewing the back pockets off of somebody.
Right.
He was literally talking about their mind and their heart.
Mm-hmm.
How their mind and heart had been opened to Jesus. They had seen healings. They had seen people brought back from the dead. They had seen wondrous, amazing things to the world.
Mm-hmm.
Not to the Spirit. But they had seen worldly, amazing, miraculous things happen that were only amazing and miraculous to the flesh and to the world.
Right.
But not from spirit to spirit.
Right, right.
And he would write about this. And he whether you call it distractions, or whether it's work, or being having the stomach flu, it doesn't matter. They all are what, where is your focus?
Yeah.
Where is your energy going? What is the wind that is filling your sails? Mm-hmm. Is if you're a sailboat and the wind being information that's coming in. I got rained on and now there's a breeze and it's cold. I know I'm going to catch the cold or a flu because I got rained on and I didn't have an umbrella. Well, you're filling your sails full of negativity and discourse.
Right.
You're literally self-prophesizing that you're going to get a head cold.
Yeah.
But if you've been rained on and there's a wind and you're cold and you're wet and you fill your sails full of grace and you say, I think it's amazing that I don't need a raincoat or an umbrella.
Right.
And I think it's really neat how the rain felt on my body and how the wind is blowing and how I'm so grateful that I'm not going to get sick. Thank you, grace.
Right.
That's what we're talking about. Is your mind open to what you already were born with? Is your heart open to what you have in your heart? Or is it closed off because of the duties and responsibilities of the flesh and the world?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, actually, you remember, you know, one of our scriptures that we've really grown to love and we've used quite a bit about the birds of the air and the flowers, you know, Jesus talking to the disciples. He's making that point for sure. He's trying to help them to see. You can be distracted like everybody else, running after the things. He calls it the things of the Gentiles. He said, or you can give your heart to the Father and he'll bring those things to you. Two different ways. And tonight, I think that's really what we're really trying to help people to see. The difference between having an open heart and open mind. The difference between opening your heart to impossibilities. There's some scripture that I've got here that just make it pretty plain here, and I'll just read them. Over here in Matthew 19:26 says, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And then over in Mark chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus looking upon them said, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. And later on, Jesus also said, all things are possible to him that believes. So I see Jesus constantly trying to, like with crowbars, pry back men's minds. And you know, it seems almost like Paul had this problem. He'd get their mind open for just enough for people to be touched, but then they'd close it right back up.
We got some text messages. It says, listening. Oh, I like this. It's listening for the first time from Jacksonville, Florida. I finally finished all the archives.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's from Marquis. Marquis. Isn't that Marquis?
Uh-huh.
I think it is, right?
Yeah.
And then we got one. It says, hello, Ranger, Jim, and BJ, tuning in. From Warehouse in North Carolina. Hello to the regular listeners and new listeners.
It must be Nick.
Probably so, because it says North Carolina and a warehouse.
Yep.
Otherwise, who knows? Wouldn't have a clue. Well, it doesn't say who texts are from.
Yeah, well, that's good. We're going to get a bunch of texts, I'm sure, tonight. In fact, I'm really hoping that some of you that are listening tonight will identify yourselves, just like Marquis, if that's the way we say it, down in Florida. Because BJ put a little note on my Facebook that just kind of encouraged people that if you're enjoying, you know, a lot of people read some of the things that I'll write on Facebook. I mean, even a couple thousand, and will like it. But I don't know that we necessarily get those people on the radio show. So I think that was a little bit of the premise of your
well,
post
what I did was
to try to help people, encourage them. If you like this, then listen in with us.
What I said was, as I said, tonight's your live show. You've got 2,908 likes on your Facebook page. And whenever you post something, there's at least 30 to 50 people that say they like your post.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, it's kind of odd that you have 2,900 people and 30 to 50 people who like everything about this page, and it's about your radio show.
Right.
Why don't they listen?
Yeah.
And I just said, well, maybe tonight is a night that you'll listen to the show.
Yeah, so if you are listening and you read that, and that encouraged you to get on the radio, please let us know. That would be really good. It kind of help us to see how folks are getting encouraged to be a part of what we're doing. All right, let me share this story with you. It's along the same lines of what we're talking about. Over in the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha, one of God's prophets, is being used wonderfully where the Syrians are coming against the Israelites. And the king of Syria, his name is Ahab. And they're always trying to catch the Israelites and the Israelite army at a junction where they can ambush them and take them out. But God begins to reveal to Elisha the plans of Ahab, the king of Syria, and actually does it in the private room where Ahab would reveal his military secrets. So Elisha tells the king of Israel what's going on and what's getting ready to happen. And every time they go for an ambushment, I mean, Israel's just not there. And it's frustrated the king of Ahab until the only deduction he can come up with is, who is the traitor among us that's telling the Israelites? One of the servants says, there's none here, my lord, but Elisha the prophet hears what you say in your bedchamber and tells or reveals to the king of Israel your plans. So Ahab says, well, get the army together and go after this man. Where is he? And so they find out where he's at and they go after him. And they go at nighttime, which is kind of ridiculous if you really think about it, because the nighttime didn't stop God from letting Elisha hear what the king was saying in his bedchamber. That's at night. So why would you come at night? But nonetheless, that's the way that the earthly mind or the worldly mind thinks. And they surround the tent where Elisha is and his servant Gehazi. In the morning, Gehazi goes out of the tent. Who knows for what reason, but he wakes up and goes out of the tent, and literally, I mean, standing there all of a sudden, he's aware that the whole tent is surrounded by an army of soldiers and chariots. And he freaks out, runs back in and says, alas, my master, what shall we do? Ahab's army has surrounded us. And Elisha says, do not fear. Elisha didn't have to run outside to see. That's because Elisha has a connection with God. He said, do not fear, for those that are with us are more than those that are with them. Now, let me just break this down for a second, because it's a great illustration, and it really does go along with opening our heart and opening our mind to the possibilities of what God can do, so that we don't limit him, we don't short sheet him, and keep from being able to do all that God wants to do. In other words, we get out of the way. Well, Elisha said, those that are with us are more than those that are with them. Up until this particular point, the story only reveals us and them. But Elisha reveals those that are with us and those that are with them. So what you've got is, the angels of God are greater in number for Elisha than Satan's army is for the king of Syria, Ahab. And what he says to this young man, he says, God, open his eyes. Well, if you're like me, the first time I read that, I thought, well, his eyes are open. That's why he saw Ahab's army. But he's not saying that. Again, remember, there's a difference between open heart and open mind of the spirit, open heart, open mind of the flesh. He says, open his eyes. And Gehazi goes back outside, and to his amazement, the horses and chariots of fire, in other words, angels, literally are overwhelmingly surrounding Ahab's army, and they're no longer afraid. And that very moment when Elisha goes out, the whole table got turned on Ahab's army. God worked with Elisha. He spoke and said, let everyone be blind. And they were blind. They couldn't see. And Elisha got in the middle of them and said, here, I'm going to show you where to go. I'll help you out. And he led them right into the camp of the Israelites. My point is, look at what Elisha prayed. He prayed for this man to have an open heart and an open mind spiritually. Now, this is the subject, really, of our discussion, an open heart and an open mind spiritually. Folks, this is something that we really need to lock into, because I'm recognizing more and more as I grow just how simple all this is. Even all of our effort to try to have spiritual focus and spiritual awareness, we put so much effort of the flesh into it when all there is the most simple of acceptance of spiritual truth, a spiritual awareness, which isn't about effort. It's about acceptance. It's about an openness. It's about a receptivity. Does any of that sound, BJ, like you might want to say something to that?
No, not really.
Okay. That's good.
No. Well, we got a text. Okay, we got a text here. It says, talk about how to transition from having grace as a mental posture to believe in these things in your heart. I don't really understand that, because if you have grace as a mental posture, then believing these things in your heart, do you see what I mean? It's a contradictory question.
Okay, well, it goes back to some of the things that people have been taught, though. That's why I understand it, because people have been taught, for instance, that you can mental assent to something, but you don't necessarily have it in your heart, because when it's in your heart is when you're going to act on it. When you just agree with it in your head is you're just maybe more philosophically agreeing with it. That's kind of what she's asking, or he's asking.
Well, I don't know if it's a man or a woman or yeah, whoever it is, but I don't know. I just see it as very contradictory, you know, to one's self. You know, it's kind of like I'm praying that my cat is saved, but every morning when I wake up, I fear it's going to die in its sleep.
Well, yeah, that's a contradiction.
Yeah, I see this. Talk about how to transition from having grace as a mental posture to believing things in the heart. I see that as contradictory.
Listen, I see the mind, and this is something I've seen. In fact, Steve Morgan, who was on our show, he even texted some of these thoughts here. Even today, we were talking a little bit about it. But really, when you think about it, if the flesh is connected to the world and the spirit is connected to God, then what's in the middle is your mind. And the information, right, you get either by pointing your direction toward the flesh, then you're going to get information that comes from the world. Pointing your direction towards God, turning your back on the flesh, you're going to receive information or be downloaded from your spirit. So your mind is like the swivel. It's like the openness of a door or a closed door. And this is something Jesus said. You can't, remember we said you can't multitask?
Yeah.
Jesus said you can't love God and the world at the same time.
What I see a lot in people is that they make a mountain out of a molehill.
I see that too.
Now, it's not really their fault, but yet it's their responsibility, because what occurs is they've been taught and they think that having a relationship with the guys is special. That if you have a conversation with God, you're one in a billion. It's like walking down the street and you see a piece of paper and you pick it up and it's a lottery ticket and you've got the winning numbers and now you're a millionaire.
Right.
It's just something that doesn't happen. And which is a shame. It's tragic.
Right.
Because there's everything to contradict such thoughts, that a relationship with God is special, that a relationship with God is unusual, that having a body healed and free of infirmities is a miracle and
right,
just doesn't occur. The book is full saying, no, this isn't the way it is. Because the whole essence of the book is to show how commonplace and how everybody should be enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it literally says, ask and you shall receive.
Yeah. I want to say something, comment on something you said a long time ago, and I'm going to set it up for a second by just making a couple observations here. But we make this so difficult, and we put so much effort into something that really should be so very simple. Now, for those of you who have studied the Bible, if you haven't, I'll just make it really plain. But in the Old Covenant, you know, God didn't have the same potential relationship with man that he has in the New Covenant because of what Jesus did. But you can't say people didn't have relationships with God because, I mean, amazing relationships were wrought between Moses and God and Elijah and Elisha and Noah and different ones, David, where they talked with God and had amazing and wonderful things happen. Okay, if you'll remember, the whole priesthood was set up, and there were veils, curtains, that were set up to keep people out of what was called the Holy of Holies, where God's presence was. And only the high priest once a year could go in there.
Yeah, what a joke that is.
But my point is, look at how that sets people's mindset up for someone that's special that gets to actually experience God once a year. See, it's all about the way we've been trained religiously to think it's got to be someone special and they can't really have it very often. And then there's these big, huge curtains. And BJ, it describes the curtains as being like as thick as about 4 or 5 inches thick.
Right.
So you know how the power team, have you ever seen them before? The power team, these big muscular guys, they'll take a phone book in their hands and they rip it. You ever seen that before?
It's a scam. It's a trick.
But have you ever seen that?
Well, no, but anybody that understands books knows that that's a scam. What they're doing is they're breaking the binding. They're breaking where all the pages are glued together to the binding, to the cover.
I've seen them rip them right through.
I understand, but once you break the binding and the pages are all still together, all you have to do is rip it. It's like one thick piece of paper. That's probably what they're doing, because if you take the phone book and try to do it where the pages are loose, why are you laughing?
I'm laughing because even if it was one big thick piece of paper, it probably takes some strength to do it. My point was that this temple curtain was very thick, and you're not just going to rip it. But when Jesus died, I'm getting to a point here.
I know.
The temple, which was like 40 feet high, It was split from the top down to the bottom, which means God sent an angel or something to split that, and then all of a sudden, the Holy of Holies was open for all to see. In other words, Jesus made it possible for everybody to have a relationship with God and go as often as you want. There's no curtain. It's not even a thin veil. It's open. All right, now my point is, I said all that to ask you a question.
Okay.
Do you remember when I asked you, probably about 5 weeks ago, I said to go from where you're at to another level of experiencing God or to go further in the Spirit,
right?
I said, it really can't be that big of a deal. It has to be simple. And do you remember what you did? You went, well, it's about from here to here. From here to here. And what I'm doing, folks,
I was rocking in a chair.
He was rocking in a chair about 6 inches forward, 6 inches backwards, saying it's from here to here. That's about how hard it is.
I don't even want to say this because it's not accurate, but yet it is. If you want to go to the next level, if you want to go up another rung on the ladder, if you want to go another step... And saying these is almost distasteful in my mouth, but yet you get the point. If you want to, I know, I just figured out, forget that. If you want to know how difficult it is to increase the amount of time that you enjoy grace, if you want to enrich your connection with God, that's better.
Uh-huh.
It's as hard as opening your mouth and taking your tongue and sticking it in and out. That's how hard it is. It's actually tougher.
Some people are tongue-tied.
Well, you don't suffer from that. And neither do I.
No.
But, I mean, it's like, how hard is it to... And see, here's the thing. And I've used this before, but I haven't used it in a long time. Actually, I haven't used it this year, in 2014. If you went up to somebody and said, okay, it's... well, let's do it right now. You said, okay, it's 18 minutes to 9 o'clock. Okay. How many times have you blinked your eyes in the last 42 minutes since 8 o'clock? Well, first they give you the dog look, you know, where someone kind of opens their mouth and tilts their head left or right because they're thinking, what? And then they'd say, what do you mean? How many times have I blinked my eyes?
Right.
What kind of idiot counts how many times he blinks his eyes? Well, how do you know your eyes have blinked if you don't count? Well, I don't have to count. It's natural. It's a normal thing to just to not worry about blinking. You just blink. You don't even think about blinking. The only time you know that you're blinking is when there's something in your eye that hurts when your eyelash or when your eyelid covers the eyeball.
Right.
Because unless there's something in your way, unless something hurts, unless something has blocked your ability to blink, you never think about it.
Right.
That is a relationship with the guys. You're not supposed to count. You're not supposed to think about it. You're just supposed to enjoy it. And the only things you're supposed to notice is that thing that's in your eye. What is causing you pain? Ignore it. What is making you count? Okay, I blinked my eyes. It bothered me. Okay, I blinked again. Yeah, every time I blink, there's something in my eye. That is a distraction. And the only way that you're ever going to have the type of relationship that the book says we all are supposed to have because it's a free gift is to have an open mind and an open heart as it pertains to God.
Right.
Because if you have an open mind and an open heart as it pertains to your body and your job or school or hobby or host of friends and family, all you're going to get is more world and flesh things in your way. This is what we're talking about. We got emails. It says, Dear Jim, BJ, and Ranger, I find other things easily distract me because they are easy for me to focus on. I can see them, touch them, and even smell them. But I try very hard to focus on God, often ending up feeling that he is very evasive. I mean, I don't have a clear sense of connecting with him and feel empty as a result. Is it because I am not familiar with his way of communicating with me? Thanks for your insight on this. It's from New York.
Okay.
Jim?
Yeah, well, my first thought is, I just want to pick apart one of the words you used. You're trying so hard to focus. And anytime we've tried to do a real good job with this, explaining how that when you put your energy into something and you're straining at something to have something, then you're basically convincing yourself that you don't have it. And this is where having knowledge of some of the things that Paul even shared with us is very helpful. And this comes from my point of view, that Paul shared with us that we are connected to God. Now, you may not be experiencing your connection. You may not be doing anything with it. It's the same as having grace. You know, people can have grace, not even do anything with it. So one of the greatest things that you learn from the scriptures and that is helping me is to relax and just believe. In other words, it's my faith, my conviction of the spirit realm being so real and being so easy to experience that makes it easy to experience. It's thinking that it's hard to experience and I have to work hard to get somewhere, to get something that makes it more evasive. Because God is everywhere. That's my answer.
Okay. We got another email here. It says, Hi, Jim, BJ, and Ranger. If you're a new listener to the show and you're wondering who Ranger is, it's my dog. It's my 8-year-old chocolate Labrador retriever, Ranger. She is laying right here next to me and Jim on the floor sleeping. She had a busy day today.
Okay.
She rode the riding lawnmower most of the day.
All right.
So she had a busy day mowing. The girl was mowing.
Yeah.
You've never seen her on the mower, have you?
Nope.
Well, she rides and says, excited to be listening live tonight. I usually have to listen later. Thanks for all you do. And this is from someone named Will. Then we got another email here. We love emails and text messages. You can, any question. I mean, we're only here on Tuesday nights for a little over an hour and 45 minutes. So take advantage of us. Say hi. Say hello. We love them all.
Yep.
It says, hey, Ranger, Jim, and BJ, great show. Shout out to the new listeners. I like it when the listeners talk to each other. It says, appreciate you guys making the effort on a weekly basis to drive home the concept that a relationship with God shouldn't be the exception and that having that relationship is natural. That is definitely not the message that is pervasive out there. And then this is from Breakfast Ed. And then he put in parentheses the phone book ripper. Did Ed rip a phone book?
I don't know. I don't remember.
I thought Ed was the breakfast guy.
He is.
Oh. Okay.
Maybe he's ripped a phone book. I don't know.
Maybe he'd rather destroy books than eat breakfast.
I don't know.
It's the internet, Jim. We never know.
Depends on where you eat. He took me to a nice place. It was good.
I don't know. Maybe he rips the menu in the restaurant. You know, you just don't know about people.
Yeah.
You don't know what you know.
He's the ripper.
Well, I don't know. He's ripping books. He's not burning them. So that's a good thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the way I look at it. I'm a big fan of books. I love books. You know, I still go to the library instead of just Googling and going on the internet.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
I thought that was something you used to do.
Nope. I go to the library all the time and feel the pages, smell the book, the weight of the cover as you open it up, the sound of a book sliding on and off a shelf.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Small little things, huh? And then do you always read them?
Well, you know I read fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Faster than me.
I got kicked out of a bookstore the other day.
Because you were reading too much?
Yeah, they said they don't allow speed readers to read books for free. And I says, well,
how'd they know you were doing that?
Well, you've seen me read.
Yeah, so they just figured that's what you're doing?
She says, well, we don't just let people read the books. And I says, well, why would I want to buy this book? I just read it. That sounds like me, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That sounds like BJ. And I says, well, why would I want to buy this book? I've already read it. And I said, have a nice day, and I just walked out.
That's funny. You didn't give her time to respond?
Well, it was a short book. It was like 200 pages.
Uh-huh.
You know, minutes, and it was gone. But it was on something that I wanted to know about tractors.
Okay. Did you learn anything?
No, because the book was older than the tractor.
Mm.
I did. I just kind of had to, you know, create and work, you know, and say, okay, well, this is the way it used to be, and here's what technology has done to destroy a piece of good farm equipment.
Hmm.
And then I did.
Okay.
You know, an open heart and an open mind, I've always said this, and I believe this. Somebody will say, well, I'll say, why did you do that? I had no choice. I had to go. No, you didn't. No, really, I had to. I had to go out to dinner with them. I had to go to that movie. I had to go to the mall. I had to do this. People are always saying, I had no choice. I had to.
Hmm.
And I look at them and I say, you know, when you really don't want to go, when you really don't want to do something, you don't.
Hmm.
This applies to me.
Sure.
You went along because it was easier to go along and pretend to be having fun than to cause a big stink or to make someone feel bad. So say that's what you did. Just don't say, I had no choice. Well, let's bring in what we've talked about over the last couple weeks about habits.
Right.
People bring their worldly, fleshly habits into their, for lack of a better word, their search for grace.
Hmm.
Well, I have to go. This is, I have no choice. No, it's just the opposite. That's the whole point of an individual's
right.
relationship
sure.
with Christ, is you have a choice.
Right.
But if your mind isn't open and your heart isn't open, you're right. You've literally closed your opportunity to choose.
You know, I see.
You've chosen not to have choices.
Right. I see a lot of folks, using our discussion tonight, I see a lot of folks, and I'm actually guilty of it at times myself, but I see a lot of folks when it comes to experiencing God. Remember the governor I talked about? It says, though they can only do so much, or they've built something up to be a mountain when it's really an air castle. There's nothing to it. For instance, even this week, there was a fellow there, and I loved his honesty to say what he did, and such a good guy, and he instantly got a shoulder healed and instantly got a hip healed. And this isn't anything new, by the way. I've had folks say this type of thing for a very long time. We just happen to be talking about it here. But then he said, well, the inner ear still needs some work. How come it does? And I just kind of popped off without actually thinking. And I said, well, you probably made the inner ear be a mountain while the shoulder and the hip were just a hill, is what I said. In other words, helping them to see you've made more of this ear, because how in the world would God touch a shoulder and a hip and then just kind of na-na-na-na-na-na, kind of stick it in your face and like a carrot that never gets consumed, you know, how would he do that and then just let your ear be a little tiny bit better without making it all the way better? You see, that has to be a limitation in that area. Because I've had this question before. In this one area, I ended up finding myself very well and very healed. But then this other area of my body, this is, well, see, it has to do with how much importance you give it. How much energy? We talked about that earlier. BJ made a couple comments actually at the very top of the show, where you're putting your energy. And people can do that and actually segment what God can do in their life so that there's some things that seem a little bit better or even completely better, and there's other things that don't seem like they're working at all. How many times I've seen individuals come and the bigness of their situation, they'll say, well, I've had all kinds of small little victories, but there's never any full victory, ever. And this has to do with a closed mind and a closed heart to the Spirit. Because if you'll remember when we first began to talk, the closed mind and the closed heart, if you were thinking of an individual closed-minded, closed heart to the world, you'd think, well, they're just kind of in their own world. They're kind of, maybe they're stuck up. They're just kind of got an attitude. They've got a little bit of a problem. They're just closed off to everything. But we're talking about closed mind and closed heart spiritually, where the grace of God and God's presence, which is everywhere, is available at all times, yet goes without even being noticed. BJ, at the last place I was preaching, I did make mention of this, and it got very, very quiet in the room. When I told the people, I said, have you ever? And I said, this is a result of religion, because I was answering a question to a lady that was talking to me about her friend that was so spiritual, but she died. And how in the world someone with such amazing faith, how could they die? And I explained, well, there's no present anointing or grace in operation. And this is what I said to her. I said, this is a result of religion. I'm not trying to put your friend down. I realize it's difficult to have lost her. But it's a part of religion to say, can everybody feel the presence of God? His glory is here today. Can you sense that? And people will actually be able to sense that there is something very different about the atmosphere. God's presence is there. And yet, after the service, the same people that were sick before the service come out just as sick, saying, wasn't that an amazing service? God's presence was everywhere. And if there was anybody there to help them, a person that would help them would say, you sensed God's presence, you knew God's presence was there, you could feel God's presence, and you're still sick, you're still hobbling.
Yeah, what's wrong with this picture?
See, that's closed mind and a closed heart to the Spirit.
Well, and
it's a limiter, isn't it?
It is. One of the most difficult things that I have noticed about people who have not just years, but literally decades, a lifetime of organized religion worship, I always feel so bad for them. Because they're worshiping and believing in a reality that is not real. It makes no sense. It is it's a complete contradiction to the written word in the book. But yet they fight tooth and nail to hold on to it.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, the more they strive and desire a relationship with the guys, the more serious they take their organized religious organization and the place that they go, the more closed off their heart and mind are. Because it's easier to be wrong and to stay wrong than it is to look in the mirror and say, I'm 47 years old and I've spent 40 years wrong.
Well, I shared with you before the show how that I've noticed a very difficult situation is to be around somebody that knows Scripture and validates that they have a relationship with God. And when you begin to speak more absolute, it literally goes right over their head. They literally do not acknowledge what you said.
Well, it doesn't go over there.
And continue to go their rabbit trail as though what I said is what they're saying. And it's not. It's two different things.
It doesn't go over their head. They just refuse to acknowledge it.
It's like they reflect it, deflect
well,
it.
Well, because their mind is closed to new information.
Mm-hmm.
Their heart isn't open to it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, they read and they read, they worship and they worship, they go
sure.
and belong and they tithe and they work and they volunteer. And it's sad because the mentality is, I see it all the time on the internet. People will send me a message that's saying, we have to pray harder.
Uh-huh.
We have to pray harder. We have to pray longer. We need more prayers. We need more people to pray. And every once in a while, because I know where it's going to go, I'll send back and I'll say, can I ask you a question? And I'll go, well, yes, you can ask any question. And I'll go, well, it's kind of personal. Well, you're not going to hurt my feelings. Ask away. And I'll say, why do you need a whole bunch of people to pray? Why do you have to pray harder? I says, is there a page? Is there a book, a chapter, a verse? I said, is there something in that cover of the Bible where it says, pray harder, and if it doesn't work, get more people and pray more? And I says, because I don't think it's there. And I says, because I'm pretty sure it just says, ask and you shall receive. So if you've been asking, and then in parentheses, I'll put the word pray. If you've been asking, parentheses, praying, and you haven't had any tangible, positive results of your asking, parentheses, praying, then there's only two things. Either all prayers aren't answered, which means that the Bible's wrong, or that God doesn't have the power that it says he does,
right,
or you didn't ask at all. And they'll say, well, what do you mean I didn't ask at all? I've been praying. And I'll say, it has to be one or the other. Because just because you think you're praying, or just because the world says it's a prayer, if it doesn't become instantly answered, there's a loss of connection. However you put it, there, the extension cord has been cut. Mm-hmm. The garden hose is disconnected from the hydrant. It doesn't matter how you say it, but something is broken. Something is not making the entire distance. So if the Bible is correct, then obviously someone who's praying, it's not a prayer. And their minds and hearts, it's like hearing a giant door shut. Just boom, 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 boom. And I go, okay, fine. And then they say, well, you don't understand because you've never been baptized. You don't go to this. You don't do that. You don't understand. You're oversimplifying it. And I think to myself, all of my sins are forgiven. Ask and it will be answered. And all I have to do is forgive myself and humble myself.
Right.
How much simpler is it supposed to be?
Right.
You know? I was born with it. You were born with it. We were all born with it. We all have it. What is complicated about this?
Right, right. I have to go back to a prayer here of Paul's, because what you're going to hear in this prayer, and most of you should know this, but I'm going to read it out of the Amplified, and it does make it a little easier to understand, is when I get down there, you're going to see exactly what we've been talking about is absolutely the premise of this prayer. It says, verse 17 of Ephesians 1 in the Amplified, "For I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of God." The Message Bible right there says, in fact, I'm going to just pull it up real quick because I like how the Message Bible says there, "But I do more than thank. I ask the God of our Master Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally." I like that really well, because the spirit of wisdom and revelation is about knowing him personally. Verse 18, "By having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you." Isn't this really the essence of what we're talking about tonight? It seems like it's the premise of everything that we're speaking when Paul begins to say, "Have the eyes of your heart flooded with light so that you can know and understand." And then he goes on to list some things here. Well, the reason why I like this so much is because Paul wouldn't pray a prayer for people like this if they were already flooded with light, if they were already experiencing God. Either they've once experienced him and were flooded with light and they've gone back to religion that's brought the clouds back out, and Paul's praying this so that they will once again, all sins forgiven, boom, right back at the very heart and soul of experiencing God, and light comes. Or they've never received light, and he's trying to help everybody see that your inner man, your mind and your heart needs to be open so that you can have experiences with God. One of the things that he said, and this is what I want to bring out as well, in verse 19 he said, "so that you can know and understand." In other words, I want you to be able to see and have your heart flooded with light so you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. I want you to see that, because Paul wants you not only to have eyes to see what is of the Spirit, but when you do see what is of the Spirit, be prepared to see what is immeasurable, what is unlimited, and what surpasses anything you've ever seen. In fact, you'll never see anyone experience God in the Bible that says, well, that wasn't much. He's really not so big. Jesus really isn't so wonderful. It's always to the contrary. God is so amazing and beyond their wildest dreams and imaginations. And so I want to help you to be prepared, because as we open our hearts and minds, we will experience more of God. BJ, what is going on over there?
Well, tell everybody what I'm doing over here.
You're like, making gestures basically say, are you kidding me? Really?
I'm pointing at the computer screen. I'm shaking my head. I'm rubbing my eyes.
Right.
I mean,
almost in disbelief over something you've read.
Yeah. I mean, some of the bizarre things that Jim, that you say on the show, these wild tangents that you get off on that have nothing to do with the topic, you know how what he does, folks. But this couldn't even be made up. Somebody sent me a Facebook message, you know, in the little box, okay. A PM message.
Right.
I'm not kidding you. It says, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but there's a radio show on the internet talking about Jesus, and the guy has a dog named Ranger.
really?
Yeah, and they says you might want to check it out, and they sent me a link.
Oh.
They sent a link to your show.
Wow. Maybe you could click on that and listen to us tonight.
I already sent him a message back.
You did what you say.
I said, well, thanks for thinking of me and my dog. I checked out the link, and I think those guys are just full of themselves. They're a couple of loudmouth gas bags. And I just went on.
Do you think they'll get it?
Well,
if they're listening, they will.
Yeah.
That's very funny.
So now I'm looking at my friends to see if all of a sudden there's one minus friend on Facebook.
No.
You know, like someone.
Yeah. Listen, don't take offense to this. He's just kidding, okay?
No, I'm not making this up. I'm not kidding.
No, not in that sense. I mean, just your response to them is not to make them, not to be, what would you say, hurtful. It's just to be a fun response.
No, I'm trying to let them know how stupid that is.
Well,
no,
okay.
That's
you
my
got right
attention.
To the point.
how do you sugarcoat something like that? Why would you? Hey, there's somebody that is on the radio on the internet, and their dog is named Ranger. What a coincidence! Blah blah. You know, you might want to.
You know, is that that's? Forget it. I was going to say
what? What were you going to say?
Who I thought maybe was playing a joke on you? Maybe Nick was playing a joke on you.
No. It's not.
Okay.
No, it's someone who has horses and
okay.
No, because I didn't you know.
You know who we haven't heard from in a long time, is Our Lady in
China. We haven't heard from China, but you know who we haven't heard from in a very very long time.
What about the stables,
Sarah in Korea?
Yeah.
We haven't heard from our. I know it was getting bigger and things were going good.
But, I'd really love to know how things
are. Well, there's a lot of people that we don't hear from for a long time, you know. Maybe they're just busy, or they listen to the show, and that, you know, or they're, you know.
Schedule changes and they can't listen to it live or something, maybe, or.
Parole in 5 years. You never know.
Yeah.
What.
Who knows?
You never know what goes on. We got a text here. It says, how is it best to overcome limitations? That's a text message that we got. It says, how is it best to overcome limitations?
Well, the first thing I'll say is this is sad to me, what I'm going to say. I'm going to try to keep it real short. This is very sad to me because I'm a byproduct of it. And that is, when a person comes to Christ, he's supposed to actually begin an experience with God. And when I mean that, I can remember even as a kid having experiences with God, having God speak to me. I just didn't know it was him. I didn't know how to let that continue because we weren't taught those type of things. So the very idea that we're trying to get rid of limitations shows me that we're not experiencing him, because the moment you begin to experience God and he becomes real to you, immediately it opens up your whole world to believe in anything to be possible.
All right, the question is, how is it best to overcome limitations? I'm going to put it in a way that I think probably most of the people listening could get it.
Okay.
Okay. Whether you own your home outright, or you have a mortgage, or you're renting an apartment or a condominium, or you're staying in your and you've turned your parents' garage into your own little house, it doesn't matter. What matters is that you have the living quarters, your living room, your kitchen, your bedroom, your bathroom, the garage. It's your domain. And if someone was to knock on your front door and say, what are the limits, what are the boundaries to what you can do? You'd say, what? I don't know what in the world you're talking about. And they'd say, well, what are your limits and boundaries? This is my house. I can do whatever I want in my house. If I want to take the living room ceiling and paint it purple, I can paint it purple. If I want to tear the carpets out, I'll tear the carpets out. If I want to take a 20-minute hot shower, I can do whatever I want to do when I do it, because this is my home. There are no limits. There are no boundaries. No one's going to tell me what to do in my own home. I can get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and make myself a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and it's nobody's business. You have no limits and no boundaries to your abilities and your freedoms to what you can do in the structure that you call your home, or when you do it, or who you do it with, or who's welcome in your home. You feel that you have an entitlement, that you are empowered to enjoy that space. It's your world. It's plastered all over in Scripture how that is the relationship you have with Christ. You are born with grace in your heart. There are no limits. There are no boundaries. If you say, how is it best to overcome limitations? Start thinking of your ability to communicate with the guys, your rightfulness and entitlement to have your prayers answered. They will be.
You know, I wonder, BJ.
Did that make any sense?
Yeah, it did, and it just kind of triggered a bunch of things in me. But you know, religion really does a number on you, because even talking about having more wonderful experiences with God. Do you know how many people, if they hear us talking like this, will say, "Well, you never want to seek an experience now. If you try to get an experience or hear God's voice, you could be hearing the devil."
Okay, you know why they say that? They have to say that, because otherwise it means they're wrong. How you keep somebody down and you keep somebody under your thumb and like a slave, like there's still slaves in the world, but when there was slavery in the United States, do you know how they kept them as slaves? They didn't allow them to learn to read and write.
Hmm. Yeah.
They didn't give them information.
Right. Right.
They didn't let them know that you could do the field work in a pair of shoes. You didn't have to be barefoot. That there wasn't limits on water. They kept them under control.
Sure.
The chains of a slave were not around their legs. The chains of a slave were between their ears. And organized religion does the same thing. They have to keep the congregation together.
Yeah.
We have to be on the same page. This is how it works. This is how it's always worked. This is how we do it. And this is the way it is.
Well, that's why.
That is nothing
but
control.
Well, that's why when you were talking.
Because when you have control, there's no room for questions.
It made me think that we've created fear in people to succeed and to experience things that are unlimited, things that are immeasurable. We've almost created a world where people are afraid that maybe they shouldn't be able to experience all of that. Or, like I've said, this is one of the things that is disturbing, how much of the time people seem to stop short of everything that's necessary. I mean, I've got some scripture here, and this is one of the prophets here. It's Elisha, and he puts into the hands of the king some arrows. He opens the east window, and it says, Elisha said, shoot, and he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For you must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have destroyed them. Then he said, take the arrows. So the king took the arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground. So he struck it three times and stopped. And the man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck it five or six times. Then you would have struck Syria till you had destroyed it. But now you will strike Syria only three times. This simple illustration, but look at the man of God who's representing the voice of God. And this king has the ability to think outside of the box, to think unlimitedly. And he doesn't. He stops short. And God reprimands him through the prophet to say, why'd you only strike it three times? Now you're going to have, these people are going to be a pain in your side forever.
We got a text. It says, this is great. Thanks. Thank you for sharing these truths. Nice text message. Nice. We got another text message that just popped up on the screen that screwed into the barn wall. It says, hello, BJ, Jim, and Ranger. Excellent program as usual. Thank you. Oh, Dennis and Muriel Mattson, Tampa, Florida, USA.
It's nice to hear from Dennis and Muriel.
All right. We got some emails here. We got to catch up. Okay. This email came in 21 minutes ago. It says, when I talk people about grace, about God or grace, I think about how I can help them make the connection spirit to spirit with God. But some people it's hard talking to because they are so caught up in living like quote unquote a Christian that they just miss the point. They think it's a dig or near blasphemy. If I go to an arboretum, do you know what that is? What's an arboretum? A-R-B-O-R-E-T-U-M, arboretum.
I think it's arboretum.
It says with the guys instead of, let's see, if I go to an arboretum with the guys instead, if the building, I'm getting sure they are closed-minded and closed-hearted. How do I help them open up to God? You said it right, BJ. This is Marquise in Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay.
Well, okay, first of all, I'm not basing this on anything from the guys or my friendship. Are we friends, Jim?
Sure.
Okay. Well, I've always wondered. You're working tomorrow, right?
I am, 1 to 4.
1 to 4 at the ranch tomorrow. 1 to 4, folks. No. He's all mine. Little slave Jim. I'm basing this on my 40-year plus history with working with people and horses.
Uh-huh.
You can't. And I mean it's impossible. You can provide people with information until the cows come home. You can give them point after point You can give them books. You can show them photographs. You can give them videos. You can give them with DVDs to watch later. You cannot change anybody's mind about anything. And it's just like Scripture. The best testimony that a Christian can provide someone else is their actions.
Mm-hmm.
What is grace doing for you now? What has grace done for you? So the way I change people's minds is not to change their mind. If they ask questions, I answer them. Other than that, I just go about my merry way enjoying grace 24 hours, 7 days a week. And if they inquire and they say, well, what's different, or why did this occur, and how come, you know, this happened? Well, then I'll say, well, you know, I thank grace. Oh, you prayed about it. No, I don't pray. I make demands. I say, thanks for the good day before I even get out of bed.
Right.
I say, thanks for the great day. Thanks for all the hard work, and I'm glad nothing's going to break down today. All right, guys, we got to get to work. Come on, Ranger. And I get out of bed. And it's about attitude. It's about your perspective. And it's by example. That's what testimonies mean.
Yeah.
Testimonies is that you are enjoying grace, that you're benefiting from God's love, that your life is good, and that you're healthy and happy and things are fine. And eventually someone that you're close to or that you know is going to say, I want what you have.
Right.
How have you achieved that? Because that means that all of a sudden, tonight's show topic, all of a sudden they have chosen, they have made a choice to open their mind and open their heart to new information.
Yeah, I'll add a little thought here, and that is this. I think there's just really two categories of responses that take place when you talk to somebody. My first thought would be, the more real God is to you, the way that you then talk about him, without trying to be religious. My goodness, don't be religious. Don't use religious language. Just be real. But the more real that he is, the more persuasive you sound about what you're relaying as far as information. And that's always very important. But here's my thought. I've shared to one person the exact same thing in a sense that I've shared to someone else. And one person said, what? What? You mean, you heard God speak? Yes, I heard God speak. God spoke to me. Can you tell me more about that? I mean, how did God speak to you? And then I've shared the exact same thing with someone else, and they'll say this. Wow.
Yeah,
and you can just see the difference between one that's saying, I want more information, and another one that's saying, for some reason, the wall's up. We're done.
What you said might be a revelation to people listening to the show, but it's common knowledge in Scripture.
Right.
Nobody in Jesus' hometown wanted anything to do with him.
Right.
Like I've said, Jesus was 100% only to those that had an open heart and an open mind.
Do you know, with Jesus, they listened to him when he was in the synagogue read the Scripture. Of Isaiah. They listened. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. And he was reading the Scripture that was about the Messiah. What they didn't allow him to do is when he got down to the end of it, he said, he closed the book and he said, today this Scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Now that's where he went too far. See, what did he do? Yep. As long as he was just reading the Bible, he's one of them. But the moment he said, I'm having a real spiritual experience, he separated himself from the pack, and they literally rose up and said, who do you think you are? You're just Joseph's boy. And they went to throw him over the brow of a hill.
Guess what?
What?
We just got a really kind of a nice, informative text message.
Okay.
And you're going to love this, because tomorrow Jim's going to be back in the western part of the ranch. You might even use a chainsaw cutting trees, but he's going to be clearing more ground for hay, cutting trees, loading them up, putting them in big piles to be burned. And while you're cutting and loading trees, unfortunately, I'll have to be sitting in a cab of a tractor listening to rock and roll music with the air conditioner on, you know, running around the pasture mowing.
Hmm.
It's a sacrifice I make for all the people on the ranch.
Okay.
It's and this is what the text it says. An arboretum is a place full of trees and trails. This is from Marquise. Well, if an arboretum is a place full of trees and trails, guess what? We're doing the show from an arboretum. But this arboretum has horses
right.
and a dog. Right. Ranger, arboretum. Arboretum.
BJ's got so many trails that you can get lost.
You never get to that part of the ranch the same way twice.
It's different every time.
I look in the mirrors on the tractor, and I literally say out loud, why is Huckaday making a left turn? When I go, where did he, you know?
It's like a briar patch with rabbits. The trails go all over the place.
I measured them. We got 12 miles of trails. There's 12 miles of trails, and they're wide enough for pickup trucks and farm equipment.
And I'll turn down one, and then there's this little ditch I got to go through. And I'm thinking, I don't go through a ditch. So then I'll back up and go to the other one, and then, oh, goodness. I always get there, but it takes
Why
me longer than anyone else.
Why can't you just follow everybody else?
You know, it's just always kind of beat to
it. You know, the other day, someone called my cell phone, and I said, and when I answered the phone, I says, yeah, I said, he's lost. And they started laughing and says, well, why didn't he just follow us all? Because there was a tractor, a truck, and, you know, four-wheeler, and, you know, there goes Huckaday. Well, he's lost. And I says, well, you know, he'll get here sooner or later.
Yep.
We got another email, came in 27 minutes ago. It says, good evening, BJ and Jim. I am really enjoying your show tonight. This is a very important topic that we are not hearing in church today. What a surprise that is. Hmm. I said the surprise. They didn't say that. I shouldn't ad lib. It says, what are the important steps for us to take to get to that higher level with grace? What exercises could we do to open our hearts and mind to be connected or sensitive to grace? And this is from Toronto, Canada, from Crochetta. I think as far as exercises and things, I think what we started at the beginning of the show when we said, compare yourself to Adam and Eve. Are you living like Adam and Eve with Christ, or are you living like Adam and Eve, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, and working and toiling, and then realizing, well, this was a punishment to make them busy, to put a distraction in them between Christ. Got another email that says, hi, Jim, BJ, and Ranger. Last week, I burned my hand while mending copper. I said to Grace, thanks that my hand is okay. Later, I asked Grace to take the pain away, and he did. I didn't even blister, and the next morning, I could hardly tell which finger I burned. I told the Sunday school class at my building, and the results were nearly confrontational. One person told how prayer was offered for 5 years with no results. Hip surgery was the answer. Well,
how'd that work?
Yeah, that turned out great, huh? I just saw a television commercial last night that said, if you've had hip replacement, we've got attorneys are putting together a class action lawsuit because you squeak like an old wheel.
So isn't it bizarre? I want to hear the rest, because isn't it bizarre that there's a confrontation because he got a healing?
It says another person. Well, maybe you can help us out here. It says another person mentioned 2 Kings 1:3.14, how even Elisha died of his.
Elijah.
Is that how you say it? Elijah. Died of his sickness. Some didn't accept my instant result testimonies. Not all rejected me. Some looked at me as if I'd found something special. Tonight's show is helping me know why I'm still waiting for my eyes to be free from reading glasses. After all Grace has done for me, I can go on, but thanks for the show. And then it says internal blessings, and this is from someone in Florida. Well, I think it's ironic, because if you have reading glasses, read the book and then say, well, I'm going to read scripture, so thanks for not having to use these fleshly worldly glasses, amen, and then pitch them across the room like they were, you know, a pair of dirty socks and continue to read, And I'll bet you a shiny new dime should be able to read. Got another email here. It says, Dear Jim, BJ, and Ranger, whenever I have tried to share some of the things you discuss on the show with people who attend the building I attend, I always get the response that God is sovereign and does what he wants. Could you share your thoughts on the traditional religious view of sovereignty of God? And then this is from someone named David.
Yeah, well, the first problem is that's where you're going. So those are the kind of questions you're going to get. But the sovereignty of God, you know, has been so debated forever. But just simply put, it's God's sovereignty for every human being to have the ability to make a choice.
That's what he did. He gave it to everybody.
Every human being has the ability to make a choice. That's God's sovereignty. God's not trying to pick and choose who gets what, who doesn't get what. Someone gets healed, someone doesn't get healed. One person gets saved, another person doesn't get saved. It's God's sovereignty to create a plan where every man has an equal opportunity to accept Christ as Savior, because in their heart of hearts, every human being has the ability to make to come up with the questions, who created this earth? Who made this place? Even if you've never been preached to, even creation itself will show you to God. So God's sovereignty is for every human being to make a choice.
We got an email here. We're catching up. It says, Jim and BJ, how's the land clearing project on the ranch going? Any storms in the last few days? This is from Tim Yokley. Actually,
how much more is there to clear? What do you think?
Well, actually, everybody's working really good, and it's going good, so I'm actually going to clear more.
Are we to the, did you guys get any further, like, to that little, where there was a little creator area? You know,
The only thing that's been done since the last time you worked out here is I went out there in the tractor by myself.
Oh, you just got and brush hogging it?
Yeah, I mowed everything that had been cleared, and then all the piles. I neatened up those piles ready to burn.
So there's a couple more days.
Well, if the weather holds and things keep going the way it is, I'm probably going to maybe another 10 acres that is still all, you know all that that's fuzzy to the left that's got the 3-foot high grass and the cedar trees that are scattered probably 15, 20 feet from each other? There's about 10 or 15 acres that's about shaped like a shoebox. Kind of narrow but longer, and that's good ground. There's no rocks. It's good ground. There's no washes. It's actually high ground. It would drain good, and I'm thinking about clearing that because when it rains, that water would roll right down that hill onto that flat area where you were working the last time you were here,
right?
And that would provide that flat area with a little more water. So, I don't know. Maybe we could have as much as 5 or 6 days out there.
Wow.
It just depends on how much land I want to clear.
And if your workers show up.
If the workers show up, and if they work, and they don't drink so much that they,
Throw up
all over my new hay ground. I should charge them for throwing up on my new hay ground. But thanks for asking. And about the weather, and you know this as well. I don't really get a lot of bad weather on the ranch.
It's perfect weather right now for working.
The weather, the tornadoes went to the north of me. The tornadoes went to the south of me. I haven't had rain in over a week. The weather starts coming in from the west, and when it gets a mile or two from the ranch, it just seems to, the wind changes, and it goes south of me or it goes north of me. It just kind of goes right around the ranch. All right, we got an email here. It says, Hi, Jim. I'm going to miss you, but I know that. You still preach and heal the sick, but you still like to preach, but I still like to hear you preaching the truth. I like you. Your friend Samuel, age 10.
Yeah, Samuel's a little boy that was at the meeting this weekend.
Where were you?
I was in Schenectady. New York.
And how'd it go? Did it go pretty good?
Yeah. Some real nice people out there. Very nice. In fact, is it Keisha?
Yeah.
She and her family.
Keisha, yeah.
Right. Came out, and Samuel's their little boy.
Now, Are you going to be somewhere this weekend?
I'll be in Lubbock, Texas.
There you go.
Ever been there?
For a couple of hours. Yeah.
Pretty flat, isn't it?
Well, yeah, Texas is pretty flat.
I mean, that whole area.
Oklahoma is flat.
Out there it is.
I'm used to the Rocky Mountains, you know, tree line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I spent most of my life at around 7,000 feet elevation. So, yeah. No, I was in Lubbock for about 3 hours, had a flat tire and spun a bearing on a cattle trailer. And so while they were getting me a new tire and fixing the bearing on the axle, I had chicken fried steak and 3 pieces of coconut cream pie at the truck stop.
Oh, well, the pie must have been good.
It was just something to do because it was taking them like 2-3 hours to get me going.
So,
well, they dealt with semi-trucks, and here's a cowboy without estate plates, you know, with a pickup truck and a gooseneck trailer full of cattle. So, you know, I had to like wait my turn.
Hmm.
But when the calves started leaking out the door and sides of the trailer, and the parking lot was getting a little fertilized, that's when all of a sudden priority shifted and they
came over there and helped you.
No, they got going really quick.
Oh, good.
He goes, there's stuff coming out of the trailer. And I says, no, that's not stuff out of the trailer. That's stuff out of the calves in the trailer. And I thought, stupid city boy. Okay, closed mind and closed hearts. Before the show started, we were talking in the barn here, and it's really disheartening because I want to shift gears a little bit here for a second and say that, and you know this, you see this all the time, either the husband is making doing good and cultivating a relationship with the guys and his family isn't, or mom is and the husband and the kids aren't, or mom and the kids are and dad isn't. It just seems like that there's a large mathematical number of people that it's not making it through the entire household. There's someone that chooses to be at home and not participate.
Right.
And they fall under the category of a closed heart and a closed mind.
Mm-hmm.
And what I want to talk about now is don't get caught up in that. So many times I will see somebody who is literally, their toes are hanging off of the edge. I mean, literally in the blink of an eye, they could be having a conversation with Jesus. And they actually take a step backwards.
Hmm.
Because they want to do it as a family. They want to progress as a couple. They take it to the point where they create this scenario in their mind that, well, I don't want to be the only one going to heaven here. That would break my heart if I didn't do all I could do to keep them from hell, or, you know, they need it worse than me, or that I just wish they could enjoy what I'm enjoying, and, you know, because it's so important to everyone, and they're getting results and they're feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you love somebody and you care about someone, well, of course you'd want to share that.
Right.
And it would be a priority for you to catch them up. It's kind of like you've learned that that you can take the governor off of the motor.
Right.
And that you can bury the speedometer at 120 and still go faster. And so you're trying to convince this family member that, look, just take this little device off the carburetor and you can go as fast as I am. Let's do it. And they won't do it. They won't mm-hmm. even listen to you do it.
Yeah, you know, Paul talked about some things in Corinthians. He talked about how that it's very easy to experience God when there aren't distractions. And then Paul went ahead and kind of shifted gears to say that he wasn't frowning upon a marriage. He was just saying that when you do get married, because there's another person there, you end up being, you end up having divided attention.
Distractions.
Yeah.
Priorities. Your priorities are different.
Correct. And, you know, we talked a little bit about that earlier, about the difference between God and Adam, or Adam and Eve. In other words, God to Adam, or Adam to God, there's a relationship. And this has nothing to do with a guy and a girl, ladies. It has nothing to do with it. We're talking about, but the two human beings choosing each other over God, everything went south. Human beings choosing God first, everything stayed right in the garden. And this is one of the things I've seen more now than ever, and I've actually been able to help people in the last couple of years better than I have before with a lot of these kind of questions about, you know, I'm wanting to progress in my relationship, but my wife isn't, or I'm wanting to progress, but my husband isn't. And I've been able to help, or people tell you things like, this couple is having problems. What would you say to them? And I'm able to help them much more now by saying, don't ever slow down yourself.
Well,
because the best testimony is your own personal life, not what you say.
I've never been married, so I can't talk intelligently about marriage. But as Jim Wells knows, I'm a big fan of math, and I'm good with numbers. And I can tell you that two people, well, let's really bring it home. Let's really get serious for a second. You have two people listening to this show in the same room right now. And they listen every week, and they talk about it, and they both enjoy it. They're both going to get different things from the show, and it's going to affect them differently. And it should, because they're individuals.
Right.
And it's an individual's relationship with their father. I mean, no matter how close two siblings are, their relationship with their parent is going to be their own. And there's going to be certain nuances and certain things that only apply to them. Even though they're brother and brother, sister and sister,
right,
or sister and brother.
Right.
There's still going to be some individualities. You've got three daughters, so you know what
right.
I'm saying is accurate.
That's right.
I think that if there's a, and we do, we have so many couples and so many families listening to this show, they should rejoice and be happy that they're doing it together as a family, as a couple. But yet at the same time, they should respect each other's journey.
Yes.
As their own.
Yes.
It's and think of it this way. It seems like I'm minimalizing it, but I'm really not. It's like going to a restaurant and everybody orders something different,
mm-hmm.
but yet they share the meal together.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is a description of what a real church is. Those are testimonies. Everybody's under one roof. They're enjoying God's love. They're enjoying grace. But yet, they're enjoying it on their own terms,
mm-hmm.
at their own speed.
Right.
But yet, they're together. We just got a text that says, lots of helpful information tonight. Thanks. Dorothea from New Jersey.
Oh, good.
Another text that says, what does it look like when grace helps overcome a sin or an addiction? I don't know, because it's your sin and your addiction. You'll have to let us know.
Well, I'll just say this. I mean, one of the first things that you need to be prepared for is the more real God becomes, the less you're going to really care about the addiction and about that sin, and the less you'll desire it. Desires change when focus changes, when the value that you give something changes. This happens with people just in everyday type of things, where they might have been like really into softball, but their schedule changes, and they're and maybe they have a baby, and so everything, the focus now is on the baby. And you ask somebody, hey man, you know, you're the champion softball. I haven't played softball in 10 years, pal.
Right.
Well, yeah. Do you miss it? Well, I guess if I thought about it, I think maybe it's okay. But man, I'm loving my daughter, and I'm loving my son, and we got a third one on the way. And man, I'm happy.
Yeah. See,
everything changes. The focus changes. Mm-hmm. And that's what takes place with grace. Grace becomes, you become enveloped in it. You love it. I mean, this is my life.
I never did that. You know, I was just the opposite.
What's that?
With horses. With living in the country and having fun.
Right.
You know, somebody'd say, well, you can't have fun and play with horses every day your whole life. And I'd say, well, sure I can. They're going to say, well, you're going to have to grow up sooner or later. You're going to have to get married and have kids and have a family. And I go, right. And then I would look at them and I go, why? And they'd go, well, what do you mean why? And I'd say, well, why would I want to change what I love and what's going well for me? Why would I want to do that? Why do I have to do that?
Which just proves the point that when something becomes very dear and you love it, other things really don't have priority. You know, before we go too far, I want to just take a moment here before the show is over tonight, and as a means of encouragement, I want to say a few things here to you about the open heart and open mind. Everything about Jesus was to show us what the Father was like. If you'll remember back there to Abraham and Isaac, and we've talked about this particular instance where God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son. Well, Abraham went to do that, and God called to him twice to stop him. And he said, Abraham, now that I know that you are sincere and that you would have done exactly what I asked, he said, I know that you are faithful to what is promised. And in the bush, there Abraham recognized a ram caught by the horns. The ram wasn't caught by, you know, the coat of the ram where it was blemished. It was caught by the horns. It was a perfect animal for sacrifice according to the law that God gave Moses and Levitical priests. Well, my point is, Abraham rejoiced because of what God had done, because God provided. Well, I want to go further with this to say that God is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides. It's an Old Testament name, and it means he's the God of more than enough. He's not El Cheapo, he's the God of more than enough, El Shaddai. And I want you to know that because Jesus came to show us what the Father was like, and everything that Jesus did was always with abundance in mind. When he fed the multitude, there were always baskets full, not just baskets with scraps, but baskets full left over. With one multitude, there were 7 baskets. With another multitude, there were 12 baskets. You never saw anybody that contacted Jesus where they were saying, you really didn't do what you should have. You need to do more. Jesus always satisfied everybody with an abundance. And my point is to say, when God's on your side, you literally can cast your fears aside. Whatever seems to be intimidating you or bringing you some apprehension, and reach out with your soul, open up your mind, throw caution to the wind, and trust the God of abundance. He said, I've come to give you life, and life more abundantly. He said, we're more than conquerors. God just doesn't make us conquerors. He makes us more than conquerors, which is really hard to even imagine. Folks, you can let your imagination and your creativity soar. There's no limits. There's no boundaries. You've heard this before, but we say it again under this context. It's time for all of us just to relax, open your heart, open your mind. You know, this is as corny as can be, but bounty paper towels are always, you know, the phrase on the TV as they try to sell these things. Bounty, the quicker picker-upper. It's because bounty paper towels have the ability to absorb so much. You need to open up your heart and mind and just let God be a part of your life. Absorb his presence. Don't be afraid of going farther with God. Don't be afraid of hearing God's voice, of recognizing his presence, of being overshadowed with his love. Get past talking about something and let's begin to experience it.
We got an email here. It says, hi, Jim, BJ and Ranger, all the listeners, especially to the new listeners from Toronto, and Jim and Judy in London. I'll be doing the 3.5-hour drive to London from Pickering tomorrow. Do you know what they're referring to?
I don't exactly, but London.
Where are you going?
I know London, Ontario. No, that's not me.
Oh.
I'm not.
Oh, it says, thanks for tonight's show. It's really helping me. I believe the closer I get to God, the more attractive me and my life will be, and my family will want to have an amazing relationship, too.
Yeah,
This is from Catherine.
That's good.
Well, are you ready to
yes.
say something to music?
I am.
Hold on a second. I got to find it. I'm on the wrong computer screen here. All right. Now are you ready?
I am. Yep. Well, Father, I want to thank you first and foremost for everybody that you're so faithful and you're merciful. I know these sound like religious words, but the truth is you're always there. Grace is always present. You're true to your word, and your abundance is wonderful. And let it be an encouragement for everyone tonight that you really can progress past the limitations of a closed mind and a closed heart. You really can have more of God. You don't have to be afraid of it. Embrace it. And let your heart just really reach out to Him in a very simplistic way. And let God be more real than ever today. So that we don't just get half a healing, we get all the healing. We don't just get half of the word of what God's trying to say and wonder what He really wants us to do, we get all of it. We don't just see God in just parts, we see God in whole. Let it be the testimony of your life from this night, in Jesus' name, amen.
Now, tomorrow night, the Hardesty Library.
Yes.
Tell everybody about that and how they can watch and listen.
Hardesty Library, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. And the reason why we make mention of that, obviously for those that are in Tulsa, you're more than welcome to come. And there's seating for about 70 people. We'd love to have you. We're sharing the same type of things that we talk about on the show. It's just that it's just me. And we do have some real interesting info, and that is we've started a few weeks ago with live streaming. And so you can go to my website, www.jimhockaday.com, or you can go to the Facebook website page, Jim Hockaday Ministries Facebook page, and you'll find a link that you can get on, and at 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock, you'll find us there in the library. We're working out the bugs still with this live streaming so that the sound is a lot better, and I trust tomorrow night it will be so. But join us if you can. You'll really enjoy these messages.
And we want to welcome everybody new to the show. We're here every Tuesday night from 8 o'clock until just about 10 o'clock. It's going to take me about 15, 20 minutes, and then tonight's show will be streaming, and it'll be streaming 24 hours, 7 days a week, until next Tuesday night's live show. So take care of yourself, and don't forget the archives page, all the old shows, if you're a new listener. And Ranger? What else? And? What else you got to say? Well, I think she says it best. What else? And remember, folks, Ranger, dog spelled backwards. What's dog spelled backwards? Good night, everybody.
Good night.